Dan, will you come and join me? Oh, come and join me. But I've got one more tiny thing to say. Sit, take a seat.
Yep, earlier this year I was on stage with Graham Hancock himself in Sedona, Arizona. Quite the honor. And it was also the first time I'd done any public speaking in, well, since like the 90s. And that was to some cops. And, well, let's just say that I enjoyed Sedona quite a bit more than I enjoyed Spokane County Jail. But, you know, just like when I left Spokane County Jail and I didn't get to tell all my cellmates how much they meant to me, I didn't get to say all the things I wanted to in Sedona before I left the stage. So here's the things that I wanted to say when I was on stage with Graham and didn't get a chance to. Hi, my name's Dan and welcome to Dedunking.
Dan has become a dear friend in the last year. Dan runs a most unusual YouTube channel called Dedunking. And I urge everybody in this room, subscribe to Dedunking, because Dan is doing really important work. Dan is not on one side or the other. He's going to dedunk or debunk anything that seems like bullshit to him. But I have to say that you've been finding a lot of bullshit in the mainstream position.
You know, I'll be honest, I never thought Graham would see my work, so hearing him call me a friend still makes me pinch myself. Sharing that stage was awesome, right? I don't have like some crazy pet hypothesis that's all awesome, like the Rishot structure or cool vases or something. You know, Easter Island, my place that I talk about the most is Easter Island, and that's really not very novel, right? Other people have talked about it at length before me, long before I was born even. It was a subject of this kind of speculation. So I talk about Egypt a bit too, same kind of thing. So it's like, you know, I'm one person in a lot of thousands, but it's really cool that Graham did end up finding me. I do feel like there's nobody else doing like the debunking side of the debunkers, I guess. Like Sam Urban from Illegitimate Scholar and Holly Lascaux Skinner, who sometimes writes for Graham Hancock, they both do that kind of stuff. But most people that are in this community, they either have their own hypotheses or they're like debunkers, and that's really how things tend to go. And I feel pretty honored, to be honest.
Yeah, I love science. I don't just love science and the fact that I like the knowledge that we get and that it's fun to watch NOVA. Like Carl Sagan said, science is more than a body of knowledge. It's a way of thinking. It's mm-hmm. a way of skeptically interrogating the universe. And it frustrates me because the debunking community, the debunking industry, as you so rightfully call it, is really, they just manufacture kind of this bullshit pseudo-scientific position in order to sell a fake bill of goods. I can prove a negative. And basically, at the end of the day, you ask a question and they're like, I can prove that's wrong. How can you prove that?
You prove that something didn't exist?
Now, this is one of the biggest issues in my mind is, yes, they are selling a lie. You can't prove that something didn't exist. And this is why they're so dead set on keeping the interpretation of Atlantis being all high-tech. Like, if Graham says, I didn't necessarily say, oh yeah, you said high technology. We know you did, Graham. And there's numerous examples of that. And the reason that they do that is because if you're talking to somebody skeptical, it's not hard to convince them that it's probably bullshit that people had submarines and freaking spacecraft, you know, 10,000 years ago. They're going to have a hard time with that. But if you talk to somebody skeptical and you say, this guy believes that there was a civilization that had higher technology than we believe that they did 12,000 years ago, that's not going to be hard for a skeptical person, especially if they're in the know. They're going to be like, oh, you mean like Göbekli Tepe or the Antikythera mechanism or the iron working in Bronze Age Anatolia? Is that the kind of thing you're talking about? It's just shit we find all the goddamn time, right? So they make sure that they've got the narrative in a certain parameter so they can keep attacking it, because they go to discredit the man and keep you from reading his work to begin with, which is abhorrent. Let's just be honest, it's abhorrent. But this is why I get to make videos, because, somebody needs to call these guys out on this bullshit.
None of us know what happened 20,000 years ago, right? And it's almost like if you wrote a fiction and they wrote a fiction, they're like angry that their fiction isn't as popular as yours, but they've got more letters next to their name. It's clearly about ego.
No, I know this is a blunt statement, and some people that I consulted before I made this speech, I told that I was going to use this, and some people were like, I don't know, man, you might want to withhold that. But the reality of it is, The situation called for it. It was blunt, but it was true. Graham's well aware what he says isn't necessarily true, and parts of it certainly aren't. Any historian should also accept that reality, but it seems like a lot of people in the debunker community want things to be like, we know for a fact things were this way, which isn't just, like, unscientific, it's just stupid. I mean, let's be honest, it's fucking stupid. I compare it to World War II battlefields all the time. People do not know what the fuck happened in so many different battles in World War II. They don't even know if there was a battle in certain places. They don't even know so many things that we recorded, that we wrote down. And like, we're passed through the chain of command. We still don't fucking know today, not even 100 years later. So just the idea that we know for a fact what happened all these years ago is fucking absurd.
Ancient history has always been something that I was really into, and Egypt was interesting to me at a young age. In fourth grade, our art teacher had a Egypt day, and the juxtaposition of all this weird religious baggage, it seemed like this so cultish, the way she portrayed it anyway, coupled with these crazy monuments and all this beautiful iconography, I was just hooked at 10 years old. But then by the time I read The Sign and the Seal, that really changed my mind. Having grown up in a very Christian home, that really just kind of blew open the doors on what could be, and then Fingerprints of the Gods, and now we're here.
Yeah.
And I left this part in for one reason, to tell our educators just how influential they can be. Mrs. Brown was my art teacher back at Brighton Elementary School all those years ago, and she was awesome. I mean, she inspired me in ways that I never would have imagined. So thank you, Mrs. Brown, if you still happen to be around. And thank you to other teachers out there. And remember how important your work can be.
What would you say the objective of your channel is when you set it up? I mean, you call it de-dunking, which is dunking is an American.
You just showed the meme, right?
Yeah.
Fuck that noise. I'm sorry. get the ball right out. If somebody comes along and they prove what you have to say wrong and they do it through the proper means and the proper channel, you know, that's fine and good. And yet, as you yourself said today, like, you've changed your position on the Earth crust displacement theory. That's how this kind of thing works, if you're an honest person. But the guys that come along, and again, it's a job for them, so they can't. The best example to me is the Baghdad Battery, because the way Milo Rossi just came in there and he just attacks it, and it's like, it doesn't take much research at all to see that the mainstream archaeologists will be like, well, fuck, it could have made electricity, otherwise I don't really know what to tell you. But he didn't go there because he did all the stuff that quote-unquote pseudoscientists do. He started backwards, he eliminated all the evidence that doesn't support his position, and he took only the things that did support his position, preconceived notion, ta-da. But he doesn't give a shit. He doesn't care, because it's a manufactured product. It's just about making a dollar.
Yeah.
That's fine and good if you're just talking about movies or something, I suppose. But when you're like talking about things like when it gets to the point where they start personal attacks, I guess that's where it really gets bad. Like you mentioned John Major Jenkins' health, and it goes even beyond that in my mind. It's like, some people can handle, like Jimmy, he can handle a fight. I thrive on it. Bring it. Professor Dave has got one coming. I'm so happy that he made
it. I want to talk to you about that in a minute.
he's gonna be sorry he made that video. But but some people don't thrive on that. And that's, to be succinct about it, I would rather stand between those assholes and you and let you talk about big rocks, and I'll talk to them.
That's sweet.
And not just you, but that's the community in general. I think people like that's, I guess, to sound arrogant about it, I'd try to stand as a bulwark between the investigative people and the scientists that want to poo-poo on everything.
Yeah, but I also regard you as highly objective, because you've criticized my work too, you know?
And
here in my nervousness, I'm interrupting Graham, but my goal is to spread the truth. You know, like, the problem is that it's so one-sided, like I said earlier. So, like, for example, the provenance with Ben's vases. He likes to talk about vases all the time, and so they attack the provenance, they attack the history. We don't know for sure where these vases came from. They just kind of popped up in the Egypt market, in the antiquity circles. We don't really know how this all came to be. And it's like, man, that is the vast majority of antiquities in the Egyptian market, in museums. When you talk about Greece and Rome and Egypt, they were gathering these things long before archaeology was any sort of a science or any sort of even trying to pretend to be a science. They were buying them from people who gathered them from sites that they found. Like, locals will go find shit and then sell it to a collector. Tell them they found it wherever the fuck, made it sell for the best. It was... The provenance issue is an issue with all artifacts from a certain time period, for the most part. Almost anything found in like the 1900s and shit is going to have provenance issues. But when it comes to Ben's vases, they're going to attack the provenance, which, you know, is fine, except for that it misleads the public, because it makes the public, by default, the public then thinks, well, if a historian like David Miano is complaining about the provenance behind this vase, well, then clearly the other artifacts must have better provenance, right? No. Just as fucking bad. So it is, it's sneaky, it's slippery. And unfortunately, this seems to be the way things work out. Now, thankfully, this also does encourage people like Carly. I'll put a link to him. He was just scanning the vases in the Cairo Museum. He's like, okay, well, fucking Providence game, Schmovidence game. Let's go to the fucking, you get to complain about these ones too? So, and I'm sure they will, but at any rate, it's interesting. It does move the needle a little bit, but sadly, unfortunately, it ends up falling on the amateur researcher to do the actual work, because the real academics are over here just shitting all over everything with, again, misleading information. So at that point, I kind of feel like, if I have a job to do, again, when I say it moves the needle a little bit, it's like if I'm dead center trying to be like equal on both sides of this, you guys keep kicking it one direction by not kidding. I say this all the time. If you watch Ancient Apocalypse and you see Graham Hancock say, mainstream archaeologists don't agree with me when he's telling you right there. As soon as he says those words, he's telling you, you need to fact check this. You need to dig into this for yourself. If you're interested in this for real, you need to do some fucking legwork. That's what he's telling you right there. Okay? You do not get such disclaimers from these fucking debunkers. They just tell you, this is how it is. And they ignore important, pertinent details like, this is how it is for everything.
When the nature of the attacks actually really have very little to do with the ideas being discussed, and tend to be almost always variations on attacks on the person, ad hominem attacks. It just happens again and again and again.
Absolutely. It's like you mentioned with the Comet Research Group. Those guys have been marginalized so hard that many people would consider them pseudoscientists, even though they're all credentialed. And the only thing that these guys have against it is smoke and mirrors. I mean, it's too much to get into. But like the biggest criticisms, I dug into it, and like Mark Boslow, he's created some just outright bullshit. But if you look at it from if you're into science and you look at what he says on its face, it's like, oh damn, that's pretty savage. But then you dig into it, it's like, oh wait a minute, that's just bullshit. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll link the Comet Research thing down below. It is really messed up. Mark Boslow attacks a missing data set, claims it's like this missing data set, and it's nothing at all like what he portrays. But at any rate, what Graham was probably alluding to here, and I kind of missed it again, I was pretty nervous. I think he was talking about more of like how they talk about racism and sexism and all these. It's one of the saddest things of our time that they have all these arguments about. Anytime we discuss anything, it devolves into this political bullshit. I mean, I don't even know how else to put it, except for like, you remember when like 30 years ago, 25 years ago, we could complain about Star Wars movies without being called whatever ism or ist or whatever was the latest thing. Like, I could just hate Jar Jar Binks because I fucking hated Jar Jar Binks. I didn't need to, like, have some political reasoning behind it and nobody accused me. Fuck, I miss those days.
Situations like with you where it almost becomes like a Gish Gallop. If they can get Graham Hancock to spend enough time fighting with the Flint Dibbles, then we don't get Ancient Apocalypse Season 3.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah. Fuck those guys. Sorry.
It's very...
Now, and I left this part in for those of you who like to say, hey, Dan, why do you address these people? Why do you give them the time of day? Why are you arguing with these insignificant nothings that are clearly dishonest? And the reason is because other people in the community argue with them, and they do end up having some impact. Graham takes the time. Jimmy takes time. Ben will take the time, although not as much. having detractors means you have to stop and argue against the arguments against you. And if those arguments are made in good faith, if those arguments are fair and accurate, there's nothing wrong with that, man. And Graham will be the first to tell you that. But if the arguments aren't made in good faith, if the arguments are just like, you know, fuck this guy, then, you know, at a certain point, if the person ends up feeling like they have to defend themselves, I don't mind. Again, I don't have some pet hypothesis, and a lot of these guys are not made from the same. They don't like to argue on the internet, right? They're not going to take it the same as I will. Graham is going to take it more personally when somebody calls him names. Then I'm just going to shrug my shoulders and laugh. But some of that has to do with different upbringing and all that. But you know, some people are just cut from different cloth, and that's, again, there's nothing wrong with this, man. I talk about this a lot, and I'll talk about it some more in this video. It takes all types to make the world go round, and the fact that we have all of these different things in humanity is probably evidence that we have use for them. Call me crazy.
It's very much about that. Now, the new video, which is attacking you and attacking me and attacking Jimmy Corsetti, have you had a chance to look at the whole thing
yet? I haven't watched the whole thing. I've thankfully got followers that send me the appropriate clips, so I just watch bits and pieces.
Yeah, yeah. What's your overall estimation of that at this point?
Oh, well, I mean, he's clearly off his rocker with a lot of this stuff. He hasn't done. He listened to Flint Dibble, which is going to make the video really easy because when I respond to it, because once again, listening to Flint Dibble is a great way to put your foot in your mouth. he just misinformed the guy. Yeah. And then, I mean, one of the best examples of how off Professor Dave was for, if this is what's going to pass a scientific discourse and Professor Dave explaining, I don't even know where we're at nowadays. His words about the racism thing is just like, you know, it just is racist. You know, Atlantis hunting just is.
Yeah.
Well, okay, cool. Look at the trees, man. God must be. Look at the pyramid. Must be made by aliens. Just is. It's like, fuck, man, that ain't an argument, dude. That's just.
Yeah. And this guy, of course, isn't a professor.
No, he's just some guy. He's just a YouTuber.
He's actually a fraud, presenting himself to be something that he isn't, and at the same time projecting his own fraudulence onto others and accusing them of being frauds.
And he's a nasty one, man. I mean, yeah. I can get ugly, but that guy is, mean.
It's quite offensive to the ear.
You know, Dave is one of the worst debunkers in the YouTube community. He has... Integrity is a big deal to me, and he has none. He doesn't use science. He started off back in the day when you could just be like a flat earth debunker, and that's kind of easy to do. It's like you can easily gain an audience without doing much science. You could just talk a lot of shit. And so he built an audience doing that, and then that gets old, so he goes to other things. And he doesn't know what he's talking about. I proved that really quickly. I mean, it wasn't even about proving. All you had to do was watch his video. If you know anything about what's going on in our community at all, it's like you watch his video and you're like, you know, what in the fuck bullshit fucking fanfic is this? So, you know, I kind of use him as like an example, I guess, at this point. But I don't really have any desire to engage with this guy because he is a complete fraud and a clown. But I did make a video addressing it, and I did leave a clip in from back in the day when I was when I didn't think Graham would ever see my stuff, and I was a little bit more rude back in the early days. And you know, I apologize to Graham if that was offensive to him at all. I hope it wasn't, but. At any rate, you know, I was a little bit meaner than I usually am, but, you know, at the same time, compared to guys like Professor Dave, even my meanest stuff is nice. I know the guys on Twitter will argue with that, but just watch Professor Dave, man. I cannot believe that he has built such a following selling vitriol as science. But this is what happens when people start adhering to science as some sort of religion, and no, you can't use science as a religion, as you've even, and they act like a fucking cult. It's like,
what do you think is the way forward from here? We live in a world that's very divided right now. There's lots of divisions: Republicans, Democrats here in America, Conservative and Labour in Britain, Russia and Ukraine, whatever. I mean, we live in a divided, head-butting kind of world, and in a sense what's happening in the realm of our studies of the past is a manifestation of that, of people just doing anything to destroy,
yes,
perceived enemies, Do you see a way forward? Is there some positive way out of this?
I see a couple of things that could, a couple of things that need to happen. One, we kind of need to, not kind of, we need to lance the boil. We needed to get it where, like you showed the person earlier lamenting that Ancient Apocalypse was allowed to be on Netflix, and this is why we need state-controlled TV. Well, you go back 40 years, you didn't see dumbasses like Flint Dibble putting their foot in their mouth and solely in the name of their field. You saw the Carl Sagans of the world. And so the internet, it's a mixed bag both ways that way. And we need them to quit circling the wagons and for them to basically let the people that hang themselves out to dry go get hung out to dry so that they maintain the prestige of their field.
Yeah.
Until we stop being tribal, we really can't move forward. I mean, tribalism is a way that allows you to other people, and you can suspend empathy and do whatever the fuck you want to them if you view them as someone else. They're othered. And so this is a pretty big problem that we have in modern discourse because people are wired to do this. This is part of the problem. Like, we all recognize that inherently that's bad, that somebody with a different opinion is probably going to offer us a new bit of insight, right? But we can't adhere to that idea when it comes to, like, our biology. For whatever reason, there's, like, buttons that get pressed, and we get angry, and we get pissed off, and we don't even know why. We just end up separating. We take little things and make big things out of them, and it's biology. We do this because it works, because it keeps the other guys out of our turf. If we see them as something else, we kick them out. But we've moved past this, and now we're in a spot where some people don't want to act like that anymore, and some do. And I'll give you a great example. We have Graham Hancock saying things like, archaeologists don't understand everything, even though it's obvious and it's in their field. But man, these guys are sure having problems here. Not very smart. Archaeologists respond with, not only is Graham Hancock not very smart, he's a racist and he's a sexist and he's blah, 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 blah. He encourages all of the problems in humanity today can be attached to Graham Hancock. I think I've explained my point there.
The other thing that needs to happen, in my opinion, and this is on a more philosophical level, but I do talk about this a bit. Broadly speaking, there's two sides to the human psyche when you come to things like this. There's really a dreamer side and a skeptical side. And that's not that the dreamers are way out there. I mean, Einstein was a dreamer in these regards. My favorite quote to illustrate this is his, where he, about 5 years after relativity was a thing, he says, I can barely recognize the theory of relativity now that the mathematicians have gotten hold of it.
Yeah.
Right? It took his dreaming, but then it took these hardline skeptics, those assholes that come in there and pick at things. So they're supposed to do that with integrity and honesty.
Yes.
They're not supposed to do it with ego. And that's really, the whole scientific method's based around removing human ego from the equation. It recognizes that I see things differently than you, than they. And so when these guys inject their ego strong into it, I digress. But we'll never move forward if we don't combine both halves of our psyche that way. We need the shamans and we need the scientists.
I totally agree. We need both.
We need different people from different perspectives, from different thought processes, different ideas. This is important. These things need to be spread around far and wide. We need all these different things. You ever seen the video of the kid that can do the bird whistling and stuff? And he's clearly very autistic, but he's still capable of, like, hunting. He could he would probably lead a tribe to quite a bit of food. And then there's, like, and that transfers even into the modern day. There's the blind kid that, in the recent times, he was what they call a phone freaker, which was like the early days of hacking back for the old people when you would press and you'd get dial tones when you would press on your phone. This kid could emulate those things because that's actually how you operated the switchboards on an automated telephone system. And this kid could operate them by whistling. All right. And there's videos on YouTube. I'll try to find them and link them down below of these guys just like going to town. So these things, they have value, right? There's this inherent value that we don't even see. There's this outside of the box to us thinking that to somebody else is not outside of the box at all. And that is really, really important. And it's something that we evolved to have. And I know that some of you didn't like me saying that we evolved to have it. Some of you think that we were created to have this. And you know what? That's okay. We can disagree on this because I'll check this out. If both of us believe that these different things, evolution, creation, whatever, Is that going to change what we do tomorrow? I mean, is that really going to fundamentally change much of anything tomorrow? No, it's not. It's one of these places where, you know, personally, I don't think that there's any reason to believe in creationism without at least having evolution behind it. But that's the way Dan sees things. And who the fuck is Dan to go around telling everybody else how they see things? That is honestly, again, this is where like all the atrocities of humanity can be boiled down to this. Like, this person is different than me and we need to fix that. So anyway, I can get off my high horse about that for a second, but it does really bother me because it's like, when it comes down to it, this is so fundamentally problematic. Until we can embrace this way of thinking, of accepting the differences, even the ones that seem problematic to a degree, clearly there's places where we draw lines, right? But even the ones that seem problematic to a degree, even the ones that rub us the wrong way, if you stop and think about it and give it a value judgment and think what it really does in your world, in your community, in your life, there's battles to be picked and there's battles not to be picked, man. I mean, it seems pretty cut and dry.
Archaeology does do a lot of fantastically useful work, really, really valuable. And there are a lot of great archaeologists with good hearts, but the whole profession is being poisoned by a small group of arrogant bullies, basically, who will do anything to quote unquote win. It's most unfortunate.
It's an impossible thing. Science never rests on its laurels. Science is always moving. Even the theory of gravity, the theory of relativity, the electromagnetic theory, germ disease theory, all these things are always, there's always something being researched. Nothing is ever set in stone. Yeah. So when they come around and they just try to sell this, we know for a fact, as soon as that comes out of a scientist's mouth, you're not talking to a scientist anymore. You're talking to a charlatan in a lab coat. He's just selling you a bill of goods.
Yeah. Most archaeologists online are silent on this debate, and you can understand why. I mean, like, if you're into Canadian projectile points or whatever, why the fuck would you argue about Atlantis? The only guys that seem to do that are the ones that have, like, attached their life's work to it or their claim to fame to it, or somehow they've, like, decided that it's racist or sexist or something, or just some other evil. And it's so weird too, because it's like a lot of these guys, they got started because they thought it was fucking Indiana Jones shit, right? Because they got into that stuff, and that's like what got them in to begin with, was the quest for lost civilizations and all the hidden cool shit. And now all of a sudden that's like taboo. It's absolutely insane. But here, I made a video about it before, you can go check it out. I don't want to babble about it another thousandth time.
Well, listen, Dan, I'm really glad that you're doing what you're doing. I think you've brought a fresh new perspective into this field, which we badly needed. And more power to your elbow, and keep on going with it.
Thank you. Thanks, man. Thank you.
Well, I really can't say thank you enough for this, Graham. This was really, really awesome. I really appreciated the opportunity to stand next to you and the stage and talk to somebody who wasn't a cop for a change and someplace outside of Spokane. But I also want to thank everybody who came to watch and shook hands with me and took pictures and stuff. It was really crazy to be treated like a rock star for a day. That was like, whoo, 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 that was wild. And I want to thank Robert, the guy who put this all together. And speaking of, this December 5th through 7th, you should come to Flagstaff, Arizona for the Quest for Ancient Civilizations Conference, which will have Jimmy Corsetti and Mike Collins and Gary Buechler and J.J. Ensworth and Hugh Newman, A.J. Gentile from the Y-Files, and it'll even have my hairy butt, and there's going to be some other people there. It's going to be great. It's going to be crazy fun time, and you should come hang out. I will be there, and I had a lot of fun doing these kinds of things. I'm really enjoying the conferences, and this is going to be my third time now speaking in public, so you should come check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. December 5th through 7th, link is down below.